Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. Some people don't understand that God has a sense of humor. It's true. God often does things that are quite funny. We will see one of those things in our study today. We are studying through the book of 1 Samuel and are now in chapter 5. This section talks about the Ark of the Covenant that was captured by the Philistines in war. Let's now join Pastor John and see what the Lord wants to show us in a humorous way.
1 Samuel chapter 5. Now, as we saw before there in 1 Samuel chapter 4, the Israelites were at war with the Philistines. And in the first battle in that war, they went down in defeat. 4,000 men of Israel were slaughtered, were killed that day. And so they regrouped. And there in chapter 3, as we talked about on Sunday, somebody had the bright idea. Somebody thought, this will be the key to victory. We'll bring the Ark of the Covenant into the battle. And the Ark was that box, 3 feet by 2 feet approximately, in which was the Ten Commandments. On top of that box, the lid was called the mercy seat. And they thought, we're going to bring the box into the battle, and that will guarantee victory. Look at what verse 3 says again of chapter 4 with me. The middle phrase there, the second sentence in that verse. Let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. And as we pointed out, that was their big mistake, looking to an it instead of looking to him. It's always a dangerous thing. It will always lead ultimately to defeat for you or for me. When we look to an it, some kind of a program, procedure, discipline, whatever it might be, saying, this is the key, I'm going to read it, my Bible, or go there to church, or whatever it might be. Those are means to an end, not ends in themselves. It's God, it's our Lord who brings about victory. And the reading of the word, the going to church, the having his body and his blood at the table, whatever else we might do, those things are to be vehicles for me and for you to come into his presence and look to him and talk with him and hear from him, not just a box to check off, as we talked about Sunday. They had a box, checked it off, you know, through the Bible in a year, check it off, you know, whatever it might be. These things are all wonderful as long as we don't look to them instead of looking to him. You're with me on this. Well, they looked to the box, and of course, man, they went down to defeat in even a worse way. This time, 30,000 men died on the battlefield in that horrible defeat that day. And besides that, chapter 5, the Philistines captured the Ark. So they went down to defeat because the Lord was teaching them an important lesson that applies to you and me. Man, don't check off a box and think that'll give you victory. But check with the Lord and have fellowship with him personally. You might say this is obvious, but for many of us, for many years, we didn't understand that. We thought if we just go through a program, follow through with procedures or commitments or whatever it might be, that was the key. No, it's not an it. It's him personally. So now the ark is captured. The Philistines took the ark of God, verse 1 of chapter 5, and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. Ashdod was one of the five Philistine cities there on the Mediterranean seacoast of southern Israel. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon, and they set it by Dagon. Dagon was the god of the Philistines, half fish and half man. The bottom part of his body was a fish. The top part was like a man. A man's head with the body of a fish, and he had arms and hands too. He was also worshipped by the Assyrians, the same god Dagon, the god of the Philistines, the god of the Assyrians as well, half fish, half man. He was considered by the people there in that region in Canaan to be the father of Baal. Now, you perhaps have heard about Baal, and Baal comes into play throughout the Old Testament frequently. Well, Dagon was thought to be, in their pagan religion history, Dagon was believed to be the father of Baal. So they put this ark that they captured in the temple of Dagon next to this half fish, half man idol. And when they of Ashdod, verse 3, rose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. They went in there and saw Dagon and said, "Dagon it, how did this happen?" And they took Dagon and they set him in his place again. Remember that MedAlert commercial? "Help, I've fallen and I can't get up." Did you see that commercial on TV? Well, that's Dagon's cry here. He's fallen down. He can't get up. So they set him up. What a sad thing if you were serving a god that can't get up when he falls down. What a sad, sad story. So they set up their god. They gave their god a hand and propped him back up again. And when they arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. He fell down again, knocked down once more. And the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. So Dagon's head, you know, literally rolled off, and his hands were cut off too, and they stopped there at the threshold, the door of the temple. So now the next day the priests go in and there's Dagon's head and his hands. And all that's left there is the stump, verse 4 goes on to say, last phrase. Only the stump of Dagon was left. Now, picture this. You walk into the temple of your god, and his head is cut off, and his hands are missing. And all you see is this fish thing standing there. You would think they would say, "Something's fishy. Something's not right. Something's not really right or kosher with this situation." Indeed, their god Dagon, man, could not stand, obviously, in the presence of the Lord, which the ark would represent to the people of Philistia, the Philistine people, you see. So here he is, this stump of Dagon, the fishy part. Therefore, verse 5, neither the priests of Dagon nor any that come into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod even to this day. That is, they don't step on, they don't walk on the threshold where the head of Dagon stopped when it rolled off his body that day. They honor that spot. Now, I would think they would say, "Man, this is humiliating. This is awful. This proves that our Dagon is no god at all." But that's not what they did. They said, "Oh, we're going to honor this spot where our god was beheaded and where his head stopped when it rolled down the floor and ended up right here, let's not walk on that spot. Let's step over that place. We're going to honor it as holy ground where our God's head ended up after it was chopped off that day. So amazing what people think and how they justify their false gods. Why would they justify a God who lost his head, who falls down and can't get up, who's just a fish stump sitting there? You know, what's the deal? Well, you have to understand that these pagan religions, including the worship of Dagon, included all sorts of bizarre practices and immoral procedures. And the people were attracted to a very immoral, loose lifestyle that was justified by these false gods, especially Ashtaroth, also Dagon, and others as well. And so they knew that this God was no real God. I mean, they could see clearly, man, he's lost his head. He falls down. Got to hand it to him. It's right there, you know, I mean, whatever. But in reality, they justified this false religious system because they wanted to do what they desired to in indulging their flesh. Why do people follow false philosophies and get involved in bizarre religions frequently? It's because in that religion or philosophy, it justifies the indulging of their flesh. And they hallow it. They honor it, even though obviously they're not going to get ahead. Not ultimately. The head is there on the floor, sad to say. Well, God's not through with these people who weren't getting the message. I mean, here he showed them your God is powerless. He's lost his head. Hey, he's not going to see you through. He's not going to be there. But the people honored Dagon, the stump that was left. So the hand of the Lord, verse 6, was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he spanked them. How? He destroyed them by smiting them with hemorrhoids. I mean, how does God spank? Well, here's part of the answer. This is what it says. If you have a newer version, it might say tumors. That's a nice way. I appreciate the sentiment of the translators. The word is, as the King James declares, these people were smitten with hemorrhoids. All of the people there. And, you know, they wouldn't stand for God, so they're not going to sit before Dagon either. I mean, that's just the way it is. And when the man of Ashdod, the men saw that this was happening, they said, the ark of God shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon too. This isn't working out. Hey, we're going to send the ark off. We're going to send it away because we're getting spanked. Our God has been beheaded and our affliction is problematic. We are not in a comfortable situation. So somebody's got to go. And instead of saying, Lord, we're going to seek you and believe in you, call on you, turn to you, they said, no, we're going with the fishy one. We're going with the headless God. We're going with Dagon. Amazing. Amazing. In this story, I'd like you to note something which we've talked about over the years, but was very real to me when I was a young preacher, pondering this text and studying these things. And dealing with a friend of mine here at the fellowship who was just going through difficulty with a certain addiction that he was struggling with. And this passage really just came to life as I was sharing with him from this story one day, many years ago now. And he was so obsessed with this habit, with this addiction, that although he wanted to be free desperately and tried many programs and lots of counseling sessions to try and get liberation from this addiction, he just couldn't do it. It was just not working for him. This story proved to be the key. Because you see, Dagon, this fishy god, so to speak, could not stand in the presence of the Lord. His head was cut off. His hands were taken away. He fell there in the temple that day. And I said to this friend of mine, I said, here's the thing. If you're focusing on Dagon like you've been, trying to get rid of Dagon, trying to deal with Dagon and defeat Dagon, you're going to become obsessed with Dagon. And the more you're obsessed with him, trying to get victory over him, the more you're going to be haunted and hounded by the addiction that you're struggling with. What do you mean, John? And I said, right now, whatever you do, I don't want you to think of a purple elephant. He looked at me and I said, now, what are you thinking of, honestly? A purple elephant. See, that's the problem. You're thinking so much about not thinking about what I said not to think about that you're thinking about and you're caught up in, obsessed with what I told you not to think about. See? And with your addiction, your habit, your problem that you've been struggling with, you're so focused on it and thinking about that, that it dominates you. I said, here's the key. Don't deal with Dagon. Forget about Dagon. Just bring in the ark. Bring in the presence of the Lord. Just continue to be in his word. Continue to focus on the Lord. You bring in the ark. And I said, something's going to happen to you. I said, Dagon will just start falling down. I saw him sometime later, and he said, the coolest thing has happened. He was addicted to, in his case, just smoking cigarettes. He said, you know, since I heard this story and I received it in my heart, man, I just started bringing the ark of the Lord in. That is just focusing on the Lord, enjoying who the Lord is, what he's done for me. He said, frankly, it's been 4 weeks now and I've just sort of forgot to smoke. I said, that's the key. See, it's not, oh, I've got to get rid of this. I got to deal with, how can I push Dagon over here and how can I pull Dagon out from there? No, you'll become obsessed with it and you'll be discouraged about that. The key is to bring the ark of the Lord in. The Lord's presence. Just daily. Just talk to him. Spend time in his word. Let him fill your heart. And in so doing, well, the Bible says, where there is light, there can be no darkness. The key to overcoming darkness is not to curse the darkness or karate chop the darkness or yell at the darkness. I've been in some services where it seems to be the focus is to deal with the darkness. I think there's a better way. If I go into a dark room, I can try to chase out the darkness and not succeed, or I can turn on the light. See, this is the key. Bring the ark in and watch Dagon go down. Whatever Dagon it might be, watch Dagon go down. Because where there is light, there can be no darkness. And eventually, ultimately, you watch, you'll see, Dagon goes down. If you just bring the ark in, bring the Lord in, so to speak, and watch and see how Dagon will go down into defeat ultimately. So Dagon was down, but they didn't want the Lord. They still wanted Dagon. The Lord spanked them by sending these hemorrhoids to him. And they said, man, the ark has got to go. So what they did in verse 8 was, they sent, therefore, and gathered all the lords of the Philistines and said, what shall we do with the ark of the Lord God of Israel? And they answered, well, let the ark of the God of Israel be carried about to Gath. Yeah, that's it. Send it to Gath, our sister city. Now, this is amazing. Let's let them deal with it. Misery loves company. Gath was a Philistine city there. It was about 12 miles east, southeast of Ashdod. And they said, let's send it to those guys. Let's let them deal with it. So they carried the ark to Gath. And it was so, verse 9, after they had carried it about, the hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction. He smote the men of the city, both small and great, and they had emerods in their secret parts. So now Gath gets smitten with hemorrhoids. It's amazing. The men of Ashdod say, we don't want this thing. It's too hot to handle. I mean, my goodness, we're getting spanked painfully. Give it to Gath. Gath took it, and they too found the same thing to be true. They got spanked in the same way. So what do? Verse 10, they sent it to Ekron, the next Philistine city on the map. Misery loves company. And so there were five Philistine cities, and three of them are mentioned here by name, Gath and Ashdod and Ekron. Well, it came to pass, as the ark of God came to Ekron, the Ekronites cried out, saying, they have brought about the ark of God to us to slay us and our people. Hey, you're killing us. What are you doing sending that thing here? We've heard about this, what it does. So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, send away the ark of God of Israel and let it go again to his own place, that it slay not us and our people. For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there. And the men that died not were smitten with hemorrhoids. And the cry of the city went up to heaven. So, I mean, I didn't write this, folks. Don't look at me that way. This is what happened. There was a great smiting of the people who died evidently by a plague, and the ones that survived were spanked in the way that we've mentioned. And finally, they say, man, we got to get rid of this ark. Instead of turning to the Lord when they were spanked by the Lord, they turned their back on the Lord and wanted nothing to do with him, sad to say. So, a mistake of the Philistines, continuing to look to and follow after their dumb fish god Dagon, when they should have got the point. You know, God, the God of Israel, is the true and living and powerful deity. We should turn to him immediately, but they didn't. The ark of the Lord was, verse 1 of chapter 6, in the country of the Philistines for 7 months. And the Philistines then called for priests and diviners, spiritual guys from their religion, the religion of Dagon. What shall we do to the ark of the Lord? Tell us wherewith we shall send it to his place. How do we get the ark back to Israel? What are we going to do? We don't want to handle it anymore. Whenever we do, it's a pain in the backside. It doesn't work for us. We want to get rid of this. What do we do about that? And so their priests and religious leaders came and said, well, here's what you should do. If you send away the ark of God of Israel, do not return it empty, but in any wise return him a trespass offering. Then you shall be healed, and it shall be known to you why his hand is not removed from you.
This is really a sad situation. The Philistines had seen the power and superiority of the true and living God, yet they are choosing to keep their powerless God and send the real God away. And yes, we still see people doing that today. Why? As Pastor John said, people often use these false pagan religions to justify their fleshly indulgences. Well, we will continue looking at this story on our study next time. We do hope that you can join us again then. This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com.
We all go through challenging times in our lives. But we are not alone in these times. We have a faithful and loving God who walks with us day by day. To help us explore the faithfulness of God in these difficult times, Pastor John has made a book available called A Future and a Hope. In this book, John shares some of his personal experiences in dealing with tragedies, including the death of his young wife and later the death of his 16-year-old daughter. As John relates his own stories, we see a God who is faithful and compassionate at all times. A Future and a Hope is especially comforting for those who are currently experiencing tragedy or loss in their life. If you would like this book for yourself or someone you know, you can order it from our website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.